The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Hi, this is Attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. That's www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Well, hi, everyone. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. So glad to be back here with you on our program From No Fault of Your Own. And as you know, it's our goal to give you an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with various types of personal injury actions caused by the negligence of some other party. And among these areas that we have explored and we will continue to explore are car accidents, trip and slip and falls, construction accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home neglect, products liability, and just many, many other scenarios where people are injured as a result of someone else's negligence and the serious injuries that often do occur. Now, through our journey together, hopefully we can remove, and we have been removing, some of the mystery and uncertainty and help you feel both empowered, knowledgeable, and confident in the process. Hopefully we can also continue to have some fun when we're dealing with these subjects. Of course, they're serious, but that doesn't mean that we can't kind of enjoy it as we go through it and we learn together. And we are live today, so if you do have any questions concerning any issues regarding being injured as a result of someone's negligence, call the studio at 631-451-1039. We are here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., and we will continue to be doing so as we explore these issues together. Now, today we're going to continue our attempt to learn about what to expect in the area of negligence and in the area of pursuing negligence cases. And as we are experienced trial attorneys, we are here to guide you and educate you as to what is really involved in standing up for yourself to get justice for your injuries from the claim process to the lawsuit process. Now, we have spoken about independent medical examinations, and we put those in quote. And as you know, they're not really independent most of the time. They're really used by insurance companies to get to the place where they can deny benefits or deny a claim or defend a claim. And it's our job to make sure that you have a strong position, an equal position, as against a insurance company, as we're fighting them to make sure that they cannot create a narrative that doesn't exist. If you are seriously hurt, we need to be able to show that. We need to be able to prove it. And our intent here is to make sure that you are empowered to do that. Now, many times in a lawsuit, you will be asked and will be examined by those IME doctors. It is rare for that examining doctor that's ordered through either an insurance company for the defendant or future no-fault benefits to examine you as if it was your own doctor. And why is this? Well, it's human nature for a doctor hired by an insurance company to want future assignments. And it's common knowledge that this examination is used to evaluate your injuries and the need for further treatment in the case of no-fault examinations. And in the case of litigation, IME, the purpose is to determine injury in the future prognosis. Both the no-fault and the liability IMEs are used in an attempt to lessen the money they spend in fulfillment of their insurance contract. Now, today I do have on the show again my wonderful right arm, Linda Boswell, and she's certainly been involved in this process, as oftentimes we have to fight on behalf of our clients in these areas where these IMEs are issued, Linda, right? And we know, we take a look at them, and we know they're not objective, right?
Oh, I can't tell you how many of our clients, after going to an IME, call us up utterly frustrated with the system and how it works, and so disappointed that it is really not the truth. They know they're not even getting fully examined. They know often that the doctor will spend less than 5 minutes with them.
Yeah, 5 minutes sometimes is a long examination, right?
Yes.
And, you know, it seems funny, but it's really sad, right? Because you're paying, if it's for your no-fault benefits, you're paying for the coverage under your insurance policy to continue to have medical benefits. And if they send you to someone who's not going to take it seriously, or in fact is going to go ahead and take the position that they're just trying to protect an insurance company's money, then you've really essentially been defrauded out of your premium, right?
Oh, correct. And it is such a rare occurrence to actually have an insurance carrier hire a doctor who's truly interested to see whether that person still needs to continue for their no-fault treatment and benefits. Very rare. I think I've only seen it less than a handful of times in all the years we've been practicing here at Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg.
And, you know, I remember in those instances are very few and far between where they'll send them to an IME, and the IME will be positive. In other words, it'll say, yes, there's something abnormal here. This person is really hurt. This person needs to have continuing treatment. So on a no-fault exam, as they do that, they'll send them there. And lo and behold, when they send them up for a follow-up IME, there's a different doctor now that they're asking to take a look at the client. Isn't that just a shocker?
Oh, it's just miraculous that the first doctor was not available to do another examination. Because would you think that an insurance company would want another examination by that same doctor?
Yeah, I have it too. I've had it in third-party cases too. And doctor will go ahead and make a finding. And it's even rarer in that, in the third-party case. That's where you're bringing a case against another party for your injuries, not claiming under your own policy that you're entitled to your medical benefits and your lost wages. So this is against the other party. In litigation, they have the right to have a doctor look at you. And I'll tell you this, in the rare circumstances where they've had another doctor look at him from a third party, they've literally tried to get another doctor in there. And because they're figuring, I'm going to go to trial, and they're surely right that I'm going to bring that doctor and their doctor in and have him testify. Now, it's interesting, if they don't bring them in, then there's something called the missing witness charge, where I can argue and say, well, the reason they didn't bring them in was because they know if that doctor did come in, that doctor would not be testifying on their behalf. So it does become frustrating for our clients. Our clients look at it as, how could this happen, particularly on my own insurance when I'm paying for it? And we go through this process. We fight. We will fight them. We don't just lay down and say, well, that's okay. The system should not be that way. It should not be allowed. I always say to everybody, there should be legitimacy on all sides. Plaintiffs should only be making appropriate, viable claims, truthful claims. We go with truth from beginning to end with my clients. They know that at Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. But I certainly wish that it was the same way on the other side of it, whether it's with a no-fault carrier or with the third party, that everybody plays by a fair set of rules. And if someone is hurt, they need to get their treatment. If they're seriously hurt, they need to be able to make a recovery, and not to sort of cover it up by a medical examination that's just not legitimate. And it becomes very frustrating at times. Now, both the no-fault and the liability exams, as we said, are used for different purposes. The first one is to try to cut off your benefits for your medical benefits and lost wages. The second part is to defend when a lawsuit's brought for serious injuries. Now, part of what we do as your trial attorney is to counterbalance the IMEs with your own doctor's treatment and testing and your testimony at trial. As I've explained previously, insurance companies regularly seek to lowball the value of your case, and having a team of well-known litigators to represent your interests at court is important, people who will fight them. And they do know the difference, believe me, as to the attorneys that may not fight that hard and will just go ahead and go as far as they can until things start getting tough. We don't do that. There are many good attorneys that wouldn't do that. The reality is one shouldn't be representing a client unless you're prepared to fight for everything that the client is entitled to and to get a fair and just recovery. Often this helps resolve your personal injury claims before trial, but I have recently had situations that the defendant insurance companies are holding out to see if you are patient enough in seeking justice to not only to file a lawsuit, but to endure the slow litigation process of discovery through being assigned a trial judge. And during COVID times, this has been certainly an issue that's been raised. We don't speed anything up faster than it should go or slow down anything slower than it should be. You go at the right pace. Each case is its own case. Each case deserves analysis and fighting right from beginning to end. So we are going to take a commercial break, and we will see you on the other side. Well, welcome back to our program from No Fault of Your Own. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach with my wonderful associate Linda Boswell, my right arm when it comes to so many things. And I'm very fortunate to have her. If you are just joining us, we'd love to have you call in if you have a question. We are live right now at 631-451-1039. We are exploring these important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents and the negligence of other. If you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com. It's myinjuryli.com. Or call 631-654-4900. We'd be privileged to fight to get you justice. And really, there's no skin off your back, because the consultation is free. We will come to you. Sometimes clients call us. They ask us, can we come to a hospital? Absolutely. If you need us, we will come there. You need us to come to the house, we'll come to the house too. Please join and listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. Off the air, Linda and I were just talking about one scenario with an IME, and Linda reminded me, which was pretty fascinating. So, as we said, when you have a injury under your no fault, which means you're in a vehicle, and in that vehicle, that vehicle's insurance covers your medical bills and lost wages. So we had one situation where our client was injured, and the IME was scheduled. The insurance company sent them for an independent medical examination. And this was one of those few and far between where the medical doctor actually confirmed the fact that client was seriously hurt, right, Linda?
Absolutely. And he was being honest. And yeah, we really appreciate that.
It was refreshing, right? The honesty was actually refreshing. And so it was a very strong, strong report on the behalf of the client, on behalf of their insured. Well, we went forward with the third-party case, bringing the action in for that person against the defendant that was in the other vehicle. And in that case, they sent, meaning the other insurance company, a defendant actually, sent our client to an IME for the third-party case. And a report comes back, and the report is terrible. The report basically says this person is fine. This person essentially could go into the Olympics and win a gold medal. Well, when we looked at it, we caught it that, in fact, the IME on the no-fault was the same doctor on the third-party that the defendant sent. And the doctor said literally the opposite things in two reports. So exhibit A, right, of trying not to be honest and not coming, clean and not making sure that the facts are supporting whatever that decision is. So in that case, I was actually looking forward to going to trial on that case because my position would have been is that doctor would have had some splaining to do, as they say, because clearly that doctor was saying one thing to one group, another thing to another, and would have no argument, really no argument. They were opposite. They were literally opposite. And so Linda gave me that example when we were off the air, and I said, you know what? That was so ridiculous and absurd, I actually had forgotten about it. But I appreciate that, Lynn, that you brought that up.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, some of these things just, your memory gets triggered as to how ridiculous these insurance company doctors, what they do and how they write their reports and how could it be that and there's another one where I'm thinking of. There's a doctor who regularly does orthopedic exams, and that particular doctor, it's almost always the same report. Miraculously, almost always the same report.
Yeah, I love that when you get a report and you can literally almost just change the name of the patient or the person that they're examining. So, you know, it's frustrating. It really is frustrating when you go through this process because, as I said, we don't want anything but the truth from beginning to end. I'm not interested in some doctor saying that my client has something or they don't have something. It's not fair. It's not right. It insults the justice system. But what you want is you just want a level playing field. You want people who are paying for a benefit to get their no-fault benefits, not with someone looking at them for a half a second and throwing them out of there. Because essentially what you've said to them is that their premiums mean nothing. They can pay for a benefit but not get it. And that's mm-hmm. really wrong. So with regard to what we were talking about, the litigation process, and it can be slow, but it's got to go at its own speed, and that's really critical. The longer the insurance company, of course, has the money in their pocket, the longer they're earning interest on it to offset whatever payout there is. So do they have incentive to settle the case right away and early? No, typically not. There are cases that do resolve earlier than later, but that has to do oftentimes with a case that's so large where the injuries are so catastrophic and the policy and coverage isn't close to that. Otherwise, you know, they will defend it and they will talk about there being degeneration and that a person has a congenital issue. In other words, something that they were born with. A person has a prior and they're going to defend it on all of those. And none of those issues mean that a person can't have a serious injury. You can have a serious injury in spite of that. You can have an injury that may not have existed before, and now there's a different injury. You can have an injury where it's far worse, and the person now has to get surgery. So we've seen all those different scenarios, right, Linda?
Absolutely. And sometimes people get discouraged because they're like, oh, you know, this is my back. It's my back. I had my back. It hurt me before. And you have to say to them, yes, that's if you've had a prior MRI, we can show the difference with it. So we encourage them to actually be hopeful that they can be properly compensated by getting some proper treatment, care, and further evaluation with other diagnostic testing like MRIs.
I just had a client call the other day, and the client called up, and the client said that they'd spoken to another attorney, and the attorney listened to what had occurred, and the attorney asked if this client had had priors, and the client actually had a significant prior history of different types of injuries. And the problem was, though, that the injuries this client was experiencing now were far worse, and there was some different injuries. But the attorney didn't take the time to kind of go through it and to listen because, of course, it takes more time when you're speaking to a client who has had some prior injuries, whether by an accident or whether not, and to parse it out, right? To go through it and say, okay, well, you had this injury. Did you have certain testing for it? Maybe you had a back injury, but the type of back injury you had or the place of the back injury is in a totally different place. You know, I've had cases where someone's real problem in a accident is maybe not the back injury, maybe not in the same place. Maybe they're dealing with significant issues, a head injury, a concussion syndrome, or post-traumatic concussion syndrome. So I think the important part is you need to choose an attorney who's going to take the time, listen, because the saying is that the devil's in the details, right?
Oh, yeah. And you have to understand something. Us as attorneys and counselors at law, part of our job is to listen to you, to listen to what your complaints are, and try to make sense of it for you, because we've been trained to listen. We've been trained at our office to make sure that we're hearing what you're saying, asking about your comprehensive prior history, and make sure that we can analyze it so we can get you properly compensated.
And I think the important part also is you really need to take the time. I don't back my clients up back to back, back to back, you know, and give myself an hour. I always say, you know what? It's a good chance that the first consultation is going to take an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. It could take an hour. I mean, it really all depends. But I don't make it so that I set it up for failure, because I think you need to really take the time. You need to listen to each and every case. If you think a case is identical to another case, just spend usually 20 seconds. And as you start asking those questions, you'll realize that it's not. Well, we're just so glad to be here on the show with you today on No Fault of Your Own, and really glad to explore in these issues, because these are really the critical issues in personal injury. We are really fortunate today. We're going to have one of my clients on the show. Her name is Margaret. She's been represented by me actually over a long period of time. I've represented other family members, and she's going to talk to you about her experiences and what it is going through this process, recovering, and trying to get fair and just compensation. We will see you on the other side. Hi, this is Attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. That's www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Welcome back to our program. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. It's one of my favorite parts of the program where I actually get to bring on our real clients and people who have really fortunately allowed us to bring them on and interview them so you can hear from real people. We don't hire paid actors. These people coming on are actual clients who have gone through the process. And sometimes it's a very difficult process, and it's certainly not a process that most people have been part of if they've never been involved in a personal injury matter. And so we're really fortunate to have one of my favorite clients and favorite people, Margaret, on the phone. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ken. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Margaret. I know yesterday, I was intending to call Margaret yesterday and just speak to her before she came on the show. And I actually was on my way back from Pennsylvania. I don't know if anybody else did that this weekend, but the traffic coming back from Pennsylvania to New York was horrific. And I had my beautiful wife in the car with me, so that made it a lot easier. But, you know, one of the things that I noticed is that people are wearing masks still by themselves with no one else in the vehicle. And I don't know if anybody else has seen that, but it can't be safe. And I can tell you, it's almost as if with some people, they're wearing the mask over their nose and mouth in the car. They might as well be having it over their eyes, the way they're driving it. It's just not smart. It's not safe. Certainly, I'm not telling anybody when to wear a mask if someone is in the vehicle, but really to be breathing in whatever you're going to breathe in and be alone, I don't think that's a great idea. And I don't think it's safe in terms of being on the road like that. So please consider maybe not doing that and protecting yourself and others around you as you're driving. We need everyone to be safe. You know how many times that we all, as we're driving, sometimes we can, you know, for whatever reasons, lose our concentration. Let's not try to increase the possibilities of that. Linda, have you seen that too?
Oh my goodness. I just don't understand it. I mean, you have people driving around in their car by themselves, clearly wearing a mask very tightly around their face. And you say to yourself, are they getting enough oxygen? Am I going to be at risk driving the road with them?
Right.
And we really, this is like our public service announcement to us. Be careful. Be smart. Make sure you have enough oxygen to breathe while you're in the car by yourself. If you need a break while you're driving, you happen to be in the car with people and you need to wear your mask, take a break. Get out. You know, don't drive if you feel that you're a little bit, you know, you're not feeling right.
Yeah, well, that's true too. Because I even know wearing the mask sometimes where I'd feel a little bit, you know, sort of out of sorts, which makes sense because I'm breathing in my own carbon dioxide, and so that's not great. So let's get back to Margaret. And Margaret, So we're really so glad that you're here and really fortunate. How did you originally come to
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. How did you originally come to be represented by myself and Cartier Bernstein now back in Steinberg?
It was through an old friend of mine, Arlene Hoffman, and she highly recommended you and your firm well over 10 years ago, as you know, when I had my car accident.
You know, it's really funny because that was in the first one, I believe, was in 2008, if I'm correct, right?
Yes, it was.
So now we're going back almost 13 years. And what I can tell you is Arlene is one of the nicest, wonderful, most wonderful people that I know. I mean, just a really incredible woman, incredible person. And I never would have remembered that unless you told me that today. Because what happens over the years is, with a lot of my clients like you, like yourself, you become my friend, right?
Yeah.
As we're going through this process, right? So let's talk about now the most recent accident. So the original accident was in 2008 that I represented you for, and that was a motor vehicle accident on the Long Island Expressway. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that was 2008. Let's talk about the one more recent. So you subsequently retained us on a second motor vehicle accident, and when did that happen?
In 2018, December of 2018, I was parked in a restaurant parking lot. Parked, I had one hand on the steering wheel. The other hand, I had my cell phone in, ready to call my daughter to take an order for food. At that moment, a woman backed up, rear-ended me, pushed my vehicle into a cement station that was in front of me, and my car was forced into the cement station. At that moment, I just became dizzy.
So hold on. Let me get this right. And I remember this one. This was crazy. You were literally stopped there. You were literally stopped in the parking lot, right? And you had your cell phone in there because you were going to call your daughter to get an order.
Correct.
And with your hand basically on the steering wheel. And now what happens is this vehicle backs up into you, hits you so hard that it actually moves your parked vehicle, a vehicle that you actually have in park.
Park, yeah.
Into a cement stanchion, into, I think it was actually a stanchion for a light or something, if I'm correct.
Yes, it was.
And so, what kind of vehicle were you in?
A Hyundai Sonata.
And your vehicle, did it suffer damage to its body?
Oh, yes. Rear and front, the rear and the front bumpers.
Did you have your seatbelt on at the time?
I still did, yeah.
Yeah. And so you didn't have just one impact, but you actually had two impacts.
I had two. So it was almost like I moved forward and backward.
Now, did you
from the impact?
Did you get out of your vehicle?
At that very moment, I did not. I stayed, you know, I was in shock. She came over to my driver's side window, and she briefly spoke to me. And with that, I got out. I was all, you know, upset. And she apologized and asked me not to call the police.
So she asked you at the scene, the other driver, not to call the police. And when she asked you to do that, what did you do?
Well, I felt bad. And I just thought for a moment. And I said, okay. Which I did regret later because it was against my better judgment. I should have called the police.
So that, you know, that's interesting. We always tell people on this show that we really believe it's critical to call the police, get them to respond, have patience. They take time sometimes. They may be doing other emergencies, but take the time and wait because it creates problems. It creates a lot of problems. People's memories change. in terms of what actually occurred, people's views of what they actually saw change. And in your case, actually, it actually really created problems on your case, right?
I think it did. Although she was not in denial that she hit me, she did give me her insurance information, her cell phone number. You know, she definitely complied, and we exchanged information, but for whatever reason, she didn't want the police on the scene.
So, but where it created problems was when you ultimately came to my office and I started speaking to the insurance company and had contact on your behalf, because at some point, and we're going to talk more about it, you really were suffering from significant injuries. The insurance company said a couple of things. They said, well, it couldn't have been that bad because the police didn't come to the scene. Nobody called the police. And of course, I responded and said, the fact that one didn't call it does not mean necessarily that there was or was not a serious injury. And in fact, your insured had asked strongly that my client not call the police, and that's why she didn't do it. Now, of course, at that point, their insured is not going to come clean and say that they were the ones that said, don't call the police. And number two, the insurance company is going to say something like what they said in this case is, well, it must not have been that bad, the accident, because if it was that bad, you know for sure that your client would have called the police. If there was that much damage to the car, if there was something significant, they would have called the police. So I'm glad it didn't come back to haunt you in your case, but I greatly encourage, Margaret, all of my clients and everybody out there, call the police. Don't wait for someone else to change a story. Don't give them that opportunity, and we need to get you justice. So we will see you on the other side. We'll be back with Margaret. Well, welcome back to our program from No Fault of Your Own. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. If you or someone close to you has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. Please listen to us on our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we explore these issues. Well, we are here with my client, I guess former client now that we've resolved your most recent case, Margaret.
Yes.
But so let's talk about, again, the second accident, the one in 2018, and then we'll touch a little bit on the first accident. Were you in pain at the scene when you were struck in the restaurant parking lot?
I was dizzy, and I could remember when she was giving me her information and I had a pen in my hand, I said to her, my hand hurts, and I could barely write the information. I thought it was out of nerves.
Okay. And so did you go home from the scene of the collision?
I did.
And what did you do when you got home?
Honestly, I called the police pretty soon.
Interesting.
Yes, and I explained to them that I was just in a collision, and I did not call the police because I had regretted it. And they said to me, well, you did get all the information. You exchanged insurance information. It wasn't a criminal matter.
Yeah, and you know what? That makes sense. From their end, you did get the information.
Correct.
And, you know, they did their part. But, you know, again, what they don't realize, and it wouldn't be something they would realize, is that what happens is when they're not actually reporting it and they didn't actually take it, people then tend to change their stories later, particularly if it's another day. It's not that same day. They start imagining, well, my insurance rates are going to go up and things like that, and things start to change. So the police did the right thing. I got to tell you, most of the time, 99.99% of our law enforcement people are amazing. They do an amazing job, a really hard job, but they're out there really to protect the public, and we're just so grateful for them. And we're grateful that, you know, we have them there, and we have them there to really come and record these things and to certainly check out, see if one is hurt. So now when you got home at some point, you started experiencing pain, correct? Margaret?
I think we might have lost her.
I think we lost Margaret. So we're going to get Margaret back on the program in a minute. We, for whatever reasons, lost her. And what we're going to talk about is to sort of just pick up, Linda, on where we were talking about being involved in accidents and the issues that one deals with through the process. We talked about the IMEs. You know, sometimes we'll have the real sticking point is liability, right?
Absolutely.
Which means the insurance company for the defendant is just... they're refusing to accept that their insured is responsible for the happening of the incident, of actually occurring, right? And sometimes defending it, well, maybe it happened, but there's no serious injury, right? We have either one of those scenarios many times.
Absolutely, because there's two factors when you're in an auto accident. You have the fact who is responsible for the accident, and two, do you have a serious injury under New York State law to qualify to be compensated for your injuries?
So it's critical when you're going through that you have an attorney that's there that's going to be fighting for you. Well, I think we may have got Margaret back on the line. Do we have Margaret?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, well, hopefully all is okay, Margaret.
Yes, all is well. I don't know. It was something with the phone line, I'm thinking.
Not a problem. I know you're graciously getting on the phone. You have your beautiful grandchildren that you're watching today, and I was hoping that someone didn't actually... you know, tie you up with rope or something like that with them playing a game or something like that.
Oh, Ken.
No.
One good thing about Ken is he's a great guy and has a great sense of humor and truly, truly cares about all of his clients, as well as Linda Boswell. Great people.
You're the best.
Yeah, I got a
question for you. Is it true, Margaret, though? They said if you knew how good grandchildren would be, you would have had them first?
Oh, that is definite.
So I know you went home, right, and you started experiencing severe pain at some point, correct?
I did, in my hand, yes. And I, you know, was a little hesitant to go to the doctor, as I always am with anything. So long story short, I did eventually go. I do remember it was the holiday season. It happened in December.
Okay.
And I went to Dr. Mirza, and that was when I found out that I had an injury.
So you actually went to a doctor with regard to your hand.
Orthopedic.
An orthopedic, right? And you were complaining about that, I assume the dizziness to a neurologist, correct?
I did go to a neurology doctor as well for the dizziness and headaches.
And the doctor for your hand ultimately... indicated that you needed surgery, right?
Yes.
And you actually had surgery on your hand, right?
I did.
And the recovery process, how was it with the injury to your hand?
The recovery process was long. It takes a lot of patience. I went along, with the physical therapy, and it all worked out, although I do have still spasms in my hand. I wear a brace at night, which keeps my hand from, going into spasms.
Well, let's talk about, if we could, for a second. We only have a few minutes left, and this is really great information. Your prior motor vehicle accident was in 2008, and you said you were rear-ended. What part of your body was injured in that accident?
My shoulder.
Got it. And you treated for that one, too, and had surgery, am I correct?
Yes.
So your injuries in 2018 in that motor vehicle collision were very different from your 2008 injuries, right?
Oh, completely different, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. We were just talking about it on the show, that some people think that because I was previously injured in a motor vehicle accident or maybe a slip and fall or some other way, that I can't have a viable claim now. And simply not the case, and we've told our listeners that, and an assessment has to be made by the attorney and a comparison between prior injuries and present injuries, and many times the prior injuries are either unrelated or the condition is much worse, and that takes really careful assessment, which a law firm has to do and always should be done. And in your case, we did do that, right, Margaret?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, I'll never forget that evening when I came into your office. It was Linda Boswell that took care of me, and she really, really took the time and cared about everything that I had to explain to her. And she really communicated with me, and she just is a great woman. She really is.
She's an amazing, amazing woman. You know what? And I'm so fortunate, and as you know, I believe blessed to have her in my firm. The 2008 accident was settled for a substantial amount of dollars, correct?
Correct.
And then same thing with the 2018 accident, also was settled for a substantial amount right after we went through litigation on both of those cases, correct?
Yes, correct.
So we're kind of winding down here, and just had a couple of questions for you left. Were you satisfied with the representation by myself, Linda Boswell, and Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg?
Oh, most definitely. I will always refer your firm to anyone that may need an attorney.
What are the most important things our listeners should do in choosing a personal injury attorney if they're hurt as a result of someone else's negligence?
Well, they should take the time to call 631-654-4900.
Hey, I have to tell all our listeners right now that we didn't actually plan that or stage that. And it's so great. It's so great to be able to represent someone like Margaret. I represented also her husband on a motor vehicle collision, I believe it was. And it's really fortunate that we get to represent people like that. And I get to call people like Margaret my friend. And I get to see Margaret and people like that get fair and just recovery, and most hopefully at least recover the best they can from their injuries. Well, we will see you next week. Thank you for joining us on our program from No Fault of Your Own.
And I want to thank you, Margaret, for all your kind words. See you all next time.
Margaret, you're the best.
You guys are too.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.